We began a series called Remix, right? And we began to talk about the fact that remix means to mix anybody. Again, right? To remix is to mix again. And so we started looking at some things, or I started looking at some things, or what are some things that I need to remix in my life if I want my life to go in the direction that Christ wants it to go, right? And so we begin. I got four re-words that we're going to remix in our lives over the next 4 weeks. And those four words are this: restore. Everybody say restore. We talked about restore last week. And we're going to continue on with it today, right? Restore. The second one is renew. Everybody shout renew. We're going to talk about renewing today. Next week, we're going to talk about refocus. Everybody shout refocus. And then the last week of this series, we're going to talk about refresh. Everybody shout refresh. Now, I'm a firm believer that if we begin to really remix these, now, I'm going to use a phrase here, at the beginning of this year. Now, y'all go, we're in September. We're not at the beginning of the year. But trends really flesh out that the beginning of a school year is almost like a second New Year's. Because what happens is people begin to start to rethink life as they begin to refocus after the summer slump, what we call the summer slump, or the summer vacations, the time when people go out and they just kind of lose their mind. Right? None of y'all know that. I used to live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we had Harley Week in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And we used to joke that Harley Week was the week that every redneck in the country, from doctors and lawyers to anybody, they just decided they were going to show up at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they were going to lose their mind for 5 days. Because nobody knew them in Myrtle Beach. Right? And so what we would do is we would get in our car and we'd go down to the strip and we'd watch as doctors, lawyers, political figures all showed up and they lost their mind for a week, right? Now, not everybody does that. That was just a generalization, but it was always a fun week. We always had a lot of fun making fun of folks. So, but at the end of the summer, as people start to kind of refocus after the summer's over and they really begin to push forward into the new school year, parents have a tendency to treat it like a brand new year. They start to refocus, they start to rethink life, they start to really rework their goals and where they want to go. And so I believe that if we'll take these four words and remix those into our lives over these next few weeks, or at least begin the process of remixing those into our lives, it'll set us on course to become what Christ desired for us to come. So I want you to look at your neighbor, high five them, and say, remix your best life now. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a sacrifice. And the sacrifice had to be three things. It had to be living, which meant you can't do this after you're dead. Right? You still got to be breathing air. Blood has to be flowing through your veins. There has to be a valid heartbeat. You've got to be alive. That's really your responsibility. If you're alive, while you're alive, you present your body. Now, then it says the second criteria is it has to be holy. Everybody shout holy. Holiness is really a phrase that has become almost a bad word in churches in recent years because we have so overdosed on the love message that we completely forget the fact that the Bible says without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And they would look at me and they would go, well, you're being awfully judgmental right now because I may not be living the same truth you're living. And so I'm living my truth. Therefore, I'm living in what I'm supposed to be living. And I would say to them, I'm trying to sanctify what I would say to them. Right? Like, come on. I'm not living my truth. You're not living your truth. We're supposed to be living His truth. There is absolute truth, and it's wrapped up in this book. Now, here's the thing about holy, right? Because we can swing the pendulum both ways. We can call anything holy as long as it makes you feel good and you don't feel bad about it and it's your truth. Or we can swing the pendulum the other direction and everything's sin. Anybody ever been there? Right, I grew up there that everything was a sin. If you went to a movie, it was a sin. If you watched the wrong thing on television, it was a sin. If you listened to the wrong kind of music, it was a sin. Everything was a sin. If I smiled, it was because I had sin in my heart. Right? Everything was a sin. And so what we did was we swung the pendulum from absolutely no kind of accountability to a works-based religion. And I had to do all of the things and jump through all of the hoops to please God. And the fact of the matter is we are holy because He has made us holy. There is nothing that you nor I can do to please God any more or less so that we can earn. When we try to do things to earn our way to heaven or to earn His approval and His pleasure, that's when we've gotten off kilter. But holiness is a two-sided coin. Number one, we have been made holy. Everybody shout, made holy. We've been made holy because of the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But because I have been made holy, I have been empowered by grace to live holy. What does that mean, preacher? That means you can't do everything your flesh wants to do. We still have to pay attention to the scripture that says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We still have to pay attention to those things. There is still right and there is still wrong. And so we have to pay attention. So he said your body has to be living. It has to be holy. So that's partly on Him. That's partly on me. I'm empowered because He's made me holy. But I'm empowered to now live holy. Right? And when I don't live in the empowerment He gives me, then I become unholy. Come on. Come on, that ain't negative. That's biblical. Right? So we have to be living, we have to be holy, and we have to be acceptable to God is what he says. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What does that mean? He means that's the least you can do. He said, what I'm asking for is not unreasonable. If I ask you to come and volunteer your time 7 days a week, 24/7, that's unreasonable. Right? You go, I got to sleep sometime. Right? Y'all with me? I can't see because of these lights. So I'm going to walk down here just to make sure y'all still alive. Right? Right? That would be unreasonable. If I looked at you and said, I need you to work from Sunday morning at 6 a.m. to the following Sunday morning at 6 a.m., you would go, Pastor, that's unreasonable. Jesus says, the scripture says, present your bodies living, holy, and acceptable, and that's the least you can do. That's absolutely reasonable. Right? So just because a certain generation would look at you and go, well, that's unreasonable. You're just expecting too much from that. Just because you say it's unreasonable doesn't make it unreasonable. Just because you say it's right or wrong doesn't make it right or wrong. It all depends on what he say. Okay? Y'all with me? And And do not, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody shout transform. Transform. Y'all with me this morning? Y'all all right? Everybody good? Smile at me. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. Right? Y'all fell right into that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he tells us in Romans that the way that we are transformed, that word transformed is interesting because it's only used three times in the New Testament, and we're going to look at one of those other times in just a moment, but it was only used three times. It's the word metamorpho. I like to sometimes say Greek words to make myself sound smart. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced or not. That's the way it looks. I'm not a Greek scholar. But what I have learned how to do is look up Greek words and find out what they mean. And metamorpho is the word that we get our word metamorphosis from. And it gives the idea, at least in our minds, the idea of metamorpho is the idea of a caterpillar wrapping himself in a cocoon and coming out a butterfly. Most people I know love, they see a butterfly flapping around, they go, oh, look how beautiful that is. They don't have the same reaction when a caterpillar falls out of a tree into their hair. Right? Now, some kids would. They're like, oh, that's awesome. You know. But most, listen, you get most ladies walking under a tree and all of a sudden a caterpillar falls into her hair and gets stuck in all the hairspray. All of a sudden now, that's a different story. But if a butterfly flies by, it's the idea of the transformation that takes place from when he leaves the place of being a caterpillar to when he reveals himself in the beauty of the newness of who he is. And Romans tells us that the way that we experience this metamorphosis, this transformation in our own lives, is by the renewing of our minds. So I'm going to ask, I've already asked Russell. Russell, if you would come on back up. I need two more volunteers. I don't think my other two volunteers are here this morning. I need two volunteers, two able-bodied volunteers. Anybody? Oh, here we come. All right. You come on up. Oh, Matt, come on. Y'all come on up. Right? So here's what we're going to do, right? Russell, once again, if you'll come right over here, if you go all the way to the other side. Russell, last week you were our body. You did such a great job at it. You represented us well. We're going to let you be our body again. Everybody give Russell a big hand. Now, you weren't up here last week, but this week you get to be our soul. So you really are the engine in this thing. You tell us what to do. You are our mind, our will, and our emotions. So if we feel sad, what are you going to do? Cry. If we feel happy, you're going to smile. If we think something's funny,
we might laugh.
Right? Then we've got our spirit over here. You get to be our spirit today. You are most connected to God. You're the part of us that desires the things of God, right? So here's what we got to understand. There's three things, and I'm going to go through them quick. You're going to get out of here somewhat early for tonight's service. And three things that you need to consider when you're renewing your mind. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're taking notes, this would be a great place to write it down. If you're in the app, this actually is a blank in the app, right? Okay? So, number one, everything begins as a thought. Let me explain it to you. Proverbs 23:7, the first part of the verse says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Okay? So this past weekend, this weekend, my family and I went to Durant to celebrate the birthday of a dear friend of ours. Now, we physically, on Thursday, we got in our van and we physically drove down to Durant on Thursday. We physically got back in the van yesterday, and physically we drove back yesterday. And though we physically did all of that this weekend began over a month ago as a thought. So we focus all of our time on our spirit. We want to make sure our spirit is strong. Flex a muscle for me, man. Look at that. Look at that. Right? Everybody give him a great big hand. Right? We want to make sure our spirit's strong. So we pray and we read our Bible and we fast and we go to church and we fellowship with other believers. We do those kind of things to keep Matt strong. Right? And to keep our body strong, we might go to the gym. Probably not. We might jog a little bit, like to the refrigerator in the middle of the night to get some water, right? Or to get a snack, right? But we might do some things. If we were serious about getting our body in shape, we might do some of those things. We might go to the gym. We might lift some weights, right?
I'm going
to
think about it.
Yeah, you're going to think about it? He's going to think about it, right? We might do something. We might go on a diet, right? We might do some of those things. But we want to make sure that our body is healthy. We might go to the doctor. But if our thoughts don't lead us in that direction, our body will never go there. Right? I've told you before, sometimes I'll be sitting at the house, right? I was sitting in the office the other day and I was working and all of a sudden I realized I was hungry. And I was like, what do I want to eat? What do I want to eat? And I started going through all the options. It's what I wanted to eat. And I decided I wanted some spicy chicken fingers from Churches. Yeah. Right? Woo! Praise the Lord. Right? And see, the flesh, it gets you every time. Right? And so I'm sitting in my office, and the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm desiring that. My mouth starts watering. I'm like, man, some of that creamy jalapeno dip. Anybody ever had that? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Right? That stuff's close to a revival. And so I sat in my office, and I thought, man, I really want that. So what did I do? I got up. I got in my car, I went to Churches, I got it, I brought it back to the office, and I sat there, continued to work, and I ate. It began as a thought. Everything in your life begins as a thought. That's why I have an issue when people look at me and say, well, Pastor, I just fell into sin. I'm like, no. You made it sound like you were just bopping down the road when all of a sudden sin just stuck its leg out and all of a sudden, unbeknownst to you, you just tripped, fell flat on your face and you just messed up. But that ain't how it worked. Before you ever went there, you thought about her sitting in the cubicle. Before you ever surfed that website, you went there in your mind. Before you ever did the thing you knew you shouldn't have done, you meditated on it, you thought about it, because everything in your life begins as a thought, which leads us to number two. If number one is everything begins as a thought, number two is to live right, I must think right. Say that with me. To live right, you must think right. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we understand everything begins as a thought, so we've got to become diligent to think about what you're thinking about. And the issue is most of us never put a lot of thought into our thoughts. Are you with me? We just kind of get tired, so we lay back and let our mind go rampant. But you got to think about what you're thinking about. Our living follows our thinking. Years ago, I was reading Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 in the Amplified Version. Now, I'd read it in all these other versions, but, you know, live by the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And I always thought, well, that's great. If I could just live by the Spirit, then I wouldn't have to worry about the desires of the sinful nature. And I read it in the Amplified, and the Amplified says it like this. It says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek Him, be responsive to His guidance, then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God or His precepts. Now get this, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just kind of, man, He just kind of racked my brain. And all of a sudden, He said, listen, if you'll make it a habit to think about what you're thinking about, and you learn to think right, you will live right. Right? If I think right, I will live right. So that leads us to number three. Y'all say, Pastor, you're going through this awfully quick. Told you. Y'all didn't believe me. Number three. You become what you behold. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says this. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. That's another one of those places that the word metamorpho was used. We are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is he's saying when you behold the glory of the Lord, when you, as looking in a mirror, you behold the glory of the Lord, you begin to see the reflection of the glory of the Lord. Now the flip side of that is if you are not constantly beholding the glory of the Lord, then you become what you behold. That's why it's important what we listen to and what we watch. When I started thinking about that, I started thinking about stuff we used to preach, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I know I look real young. I started preaching 25 years ago. Okay? So I can now say, hey, 15, 20 years ago, I was preaching because I was. That makes me feel old. See, everybody go, Pastor, you look so young. Look at there, in Jesus' name. Right? So, somebody say to God, forgive, God, forgive us. Lord Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name for whoever that was. Lord, I pray for you in Jesus' name. Right? And so I started thinking about, and I started thinking about something I preached 15, 20 years ago that I haven't heard preached in probably 10 or more years. But we preached that there were three gates to the soul. Does anybody remember hearing that 10, 15 years ago? There are three gates to the skull, to the soul. To the skull. Yeah, not to the skull. there's a lot of gates to the skull. Don't go and buy that. Anyway. Right? Got to learn to laugh at yourself. Three gates to the soul. There's the eye gate, the ear gate, and the mouth gate. There used to be a song, a children's church song. Who can finish it for me? Be careful, little. We used to teach that to our children. By singing that, we were indoctrinating them. We were teaching them the precepts of the Bible. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. I started thinking about that. I started thinking about the fact that if all I ever do, Russell, is feed you, and I starve Matt, who do you think's going to win out? Because the fact of the matter is your soul is constantly in a war. And your flesh is trying to win your soul's attention. Because if your flesh wins your soul's attention, then your soul brings everybody along so that they'll follow what your flesh wants to do. But if your spirit, man, if all I do is feed my spirit, I give him a steady diet of worship and the Word. I give him a steady diet. I fast and I pray and I spend time in the presence of God. All of a sudden now, he bulks up. And when I feed my spirit man, my flesh man begins to wither. And now my spirit's stronger. And so when there's a war going on whether I should sin or whether I should not, who you think's going to win? And the way that you feed either one of these guys is by what you see, by what you hear, and by what you say. Would you give these guys a great big hand? Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Because here's what I have learned. I've learned that people will come into my office and they will start spewing every negative thing on the planet, and they'll start telling me what everybody's doing and what everybody's been doing and what everybody has done, and they'll start telling me all this stuff. And what they're saying they're doing is they're coming in and they're sharing a request with me. They're sharing something that they think I should know about, and I just want to look at them and go, no, baby, what you're doing is you're gossiping. Because if I have no authority in the situation, come on, and we have become so okay with living negative, we've become so okay with gossip. Now you let someone in sexual sin walk in the back door, and we will blast them, throw them on the altar, and cast every demon known to man. But we will not stop wagging our tongues from the time we walk out the door to the next time we assemble together. Pastor, you're being mean this morning. No, I'm being real this morning. Because until we renew our minds as a church, we are never going to reach what God has for us. And as long as you want me to preach what tickles your ears and makes you happy, as long as you want me to tell you the 7 steps to success and the 14 ways to become prosperous, and you never want me to deal with the sin issues in our lives, because if I deal with the sin issues in our lives as a whole, I can push us further down the road to what God wants us to be. And if we become what God wants us to be, then we will reach our city and the surrounding areas with the gospel of the kingdom. And what I notice is Christians have become so lackadaisical. We become so lazy at what we see and what we hear that we no longer guard what we say. Let me give you a challenge this week. What if this week, anytime you went to speak, you thought about what you were thinking about and you guarded what you said, how often would you just have to bite your tongue? Y'all came in wanting a Joel Osteen message this morning, I can tell. Y'all wanted Joel, and I came in as a prophet. Right? But it bothers me when I see people who have been in the church all their lives, and we just brush over our sin issues like they ain't issues. Or we call them issues and not sin, because that makes us feel better about ourselves. But the fact of the matter is, and I said it earlier, without holiness, and holiness has nothing to do with the length of your dress or the length of your sleeves. It has everything to do with an attitude of the heart. Right? I'm not a clothesline preacher by any stretch of the imagination. I believe that we have been given freedom and liberty in Christ. But I do also understand that there has to be an understanding that when I start to watch something, if it comes to a place where it offends my spirit, I am not above standing up and walking out. I used to listen. Some of y'all going, "What? He needs to stay off the clothes." I'm not on clothesline, right? Like, just listen to what I'm saying. I'm not telling you what to and what not to do. I believe you got the Holy Spirit for that. But I used to love heavy metal music. Used to love it, right? I like Metallica, Guns N' Roses. I used to like all that stuff, right? I used to like it. But here's what I found out about myself. When I listened to it, it made me mad. I'd be sitting in my car, and then I'd want to punch somebody in the face. And I'm like, that ain't Christ-like. Jesus didn't put that thought there, right? I'm like, they didn't even do nothing. Like, I'd get out of the car, I'd be mad, right? I found out R&B didn't do me that way. I'm not telling you what kind of music to listen to and what kind of music not to listen to. I'm telling you what did for me, okay? You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what the Bible says, right? I found out R&B didn't do me that way. You know, be driving down the road, listening to Metallica, I want to shank somebody. I listen to the Boys to Men, I'd be like, yeah. Right? So I found out that whatever I was putting in was coming right back out. I also found out that what I was constantly talking about revealed what I was putting in. Now here's the thing. You know the old saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Okay, so there are people who can manipulate situations for quite some time, but eventually the real them is going to come out. Amen. Have you ever been in a real revealing situation? Like you're sitting around with somebody and you thought they were one way, and all of a sudden they opened their mouth and you went, "I see that." Right? And I found out that if I would confess the Word of God over my situation rather than my frustration over my situation, then while I'm confessing God's Word, I'm also hearing God's Word. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, if I can read the Word of God and confess the Word of God so that I hear the Word of God, I'm covering all my gates. Y'all with me? And the more I do that, the Bible says that I am renewing my mind, and the more I renew my mind, I will experience a transformation Now, I don't know if you've ever been there. I heard this story one time from a preacher. I'm not going to call his name because everybody in the room would know the preacher. He's pretty famous. But he said he began this process of renewing his mind, and he said, you know, he would confess the word every day. He'd pick out scriptures and he just confessed that word, confess those scriptures over his life. And he said that one day he was driving down the road, and he said all of a sudden the car in front of him swerved and began to twist around. And he said he had to turn his car off the side, you know, turn off the side of the road. It was only one way to go. He said as he did, his car began to spin. He said he began to go into a ditch. He said, all of a sudden, I heard myself declaring, "You give your angels charge over me." He said, as he heard that coming out of his mouth, he said, all of a sudden, his car twisted and came to a complete stop. Right smack in the middle of the road. He said he was sitting there. He said, I looked over at my wife. She looked over at me and said, did you just realize what happened? He said, yes, ma'am, I did. He said it was at that moment he realized that the renewing was working. Because instead of reacting out of fear or reacting out of anger, he reacted out of faith. And you can always tell how people respond when others cut them off in traffic. Well, preacher, I got road rage. Well, then you need to get some spirit peace. You need to start confessing the word. Come on, I'm preaching to myself. I'm stepping on my own toes. I'll be driving down the road. I'll be in traffic. I'm trying to get somewhere and somebody cuts me off. I'm like, what are you doing? And my wife goes, Pastor. I reach my hand across, lay my hand on her head and say, come out of her in Jesus' name. Right? I'm just kidding. Right? I realized one day when my daughter was sitting in the back seat and we were coming up to a green light and somebody stopped at a green light. And my daughter yells out of the back seat, what kind of a moron stops at a green light? I looked over, I said, she's just like her mother. But I knew in that moment, right? I needed to deal with some stuff. It's a process. Y'all pray for me. Some of y'all sitting back like y'all holy sanctified and you don't have any. Just pray for me, okay? Right? Yeah. And so all of a sudden now I'm having to rethink what I'm thinking about. And so what would happen this week? If we made a commitment one to another that for this week, this 7 days, before we open our mouth at any point, I'm not telling you this is going to be easy. I'm telling you, before you open your mouth at any point, you pause. Think about what you're thinking about saying. And if it does not point you in the direction that God wants you to go, you keep it to yourself. And according to Corinthians, we cast down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We cast down every imagination, every thought that does not lead us in the direction that God wants us to go. And instead of giving voice to that, we begin to give voice to what the Word of God says. And I'm going to be honest. Sometimes it's going to be tough. Because if you don't have a word on it, my advice is going to be, keep your mouth closed. Right? Come on. Because if we can learn to close our mouth until we have a word on something, and then once we have a word on it, Every time that issue comes up, we confess the word over it. That's going to point us in the direction that Christ wants us to go. Come on. How many of you believe God wants you to renew your mind this week? So here's what I want us to do. I want you to stand to your feet with me. And right here in this moment, before we dismiss, I want you to think about what you've been thinking about. What have you been feeding your soul a steady diet of? Is it something that would strengthen your spirit, or is it something that would strengthen your flesh? And in this moment, I want you to make the decisions as to what you need to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I want you to make those decisions as, this is what I need to do in this situation. And as we do this together, would you? But I'm going to ask for a hard commitment. How many of you this week, 7 days till next Sunday, you'll go, Pastor, man, I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking to me today. I will think about what I'm thinking about, and unless I have a word on it, I will keep my mouth shut. How many of you would I'm not telling you it's going to be perfect. Because let's be honest. Let's be real honest in here. Sometimes you're going to be in the middle of a conversation, and you're going to catch yourself, and you're going to have to backtrack out of it. Like, I tell you what I would say to... I would say... peaceful word would right. Some days it's going to be like that. I'm just going to be honest, and I'm not casting condemnation on you. What I want is, I want the Holy Spirit to catch you in it, right? I'd much rather him catch me mid-sentence and me have to backtrack out of it than me to go ahead and let all of that out and poison someone else. Come on. So how many of you right now, Pastor, I will do my best with the Holy Spirit's help to think about what I'm thinking about. Well, you really should have them bow their head. No. I want you to make this commitment in front of God and everybody. Because the fact of the matter is this is what we as believers should be doing anyway. If I don't have a word on it, I shouldn't even be speaking it. Right? So we're going to renew our minds starting this week, because I believe that as we remix the thoughts in our head and we gain control over the mind that we've been given, I believe our lives will take a different turn. So would you pray with me right now?